Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends, neighbors, and our favorite people that tune in every Monday night to your show, Raising Expectations. And we tell you every week because it's an absolute fact. We never take you for granted. And the notes that you send, we appreciate so much how you've shared that, hey, that name's come to mean something to us because we have discovered we are raising our expectations and the struggles and things we go through. God is working and He is there. And that's what we like to share first and foremost every week, because as you know, each of us are born again believers. We know and we believe in our heart that the Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to earth for one explicit reason, and that was to die on the cross to pay the price for your sins and for mine. And what does that mean? It means this simply, two facts. We're going to be in heaven someday because His blood has wiped away for a holy God the mistakes that we've all made. And besides that, it also means that He'll walk with us, He'll talk with us, and as the old hymn says, He'll tell us that we're His own every day. He's only a prayer away, walking with us. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit in John 15 when he went back and paid the price there. So as we think about this, He's with us tonight. So if you've got something in your life going on, remember, we'll be praying for you. And let me know how that's going. Let all of us know. And you'll see that in just a while. So tonight we've got a very good program set for you. We have a special guest coming to us from the Midwest again. You've been reading about her. We've had some comments from people about this. We have such a variety of people that God brings to us. And each of them has a different story, whether they've been teaching, congressman, whether they've been this or that or the other. It's so great when they come and share right here with all of us because you're part of the family and they become part of our family. Frank said to say hi to you again because, as we know, we're praying for the anger that's in the world today. My goodness, in this nation today, President Trump had another assassination attempt. Not going to go into all that. It's on the news everywhere. Just make sure which news you're watching to get the real facts on what is truly taking place. And Frank is at it again because, being as precious as he is, they're going to be talking to him again. He was on CBS television, radio again because they want to know what is going on. And he has a lot of expertise that our guest of last week. So pray for him. He's working on some of that even as we speak. So along with that, we want you to know that our team tonight, we've got a great team, as you know, our family. I want to start. We're getting ready just to start. We had a little bit of technical difficulty with our guests tonight, but she'll be with us, and that will be taken care of. Ron Greer was unable to be with us tonight. He's going to be out of state tomorrow, so they got tied up and something came up. Ron was unable to be with us tonight. He'll be back. And we're going to go to the West Coast first. You know, Dr. Paul Hall is back with us. Dr. Paul Hall is one of our very, very special team members, as you know. He's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a Bible teacher. He's a counselor. He's been my friend for over 50 years. And in fact, it's going to be exciting tonight because the guest that we have with you tonight was with us back in the college days, way back just before Moses went to Mount Sinai. He could have taken the easy route along the coast up north and stayed at the good hotels, but he followed God's will, and that's what we try to do. We ended up in the desert sometimes, but you kind of find out He was always there and took us through it, just like you find in the book of Exodus. So as Paul is with us again from Southern California, And he's going to be, sharing with us as we are speaking with our guest and letting her share tonight. It's going to be really exciting. And then if we go all the way across the nation, we go back to the great state of Georgia, there in Dalton, Georgia. We have Steph Thayer with us, and her husband is Dr. Craig Thayer. He's a trauma surgeon, and of course, Steph is a health and wellness coach, along with a lot of other things she could do well, too, in business and the fields that she's been in. She also has a website. You'll find it, Wellness with Steph, and if you go to our website, you'll find her right there. Let's go to hers first. There it is, and this one is called Live Your Life Out Loud, which you'll find there, and she counsels and speaks with women all over the nation, shares with them just where everybody lives. Aren't you glad the Lord lives right where we live? And she just shares with them and blesses a lot of lives each and every day. They're on Wellness with Steph, her website, or you can go to Live Your Life Out Loud. Steph is one in a million, and you want to know the things that she shares to help the ladies each and every day. She just never knows where God's going to take her next. But there's a good perusal of her website there, and you can see some of the things that she talks about. My daughter follows her up in Ohio. She does just an excellent job. Her husband is not with us at this time. He pop in later. I don't know with the timing. But in any event, maybe in surgery. You know, when you're a surgeon, it's really hard to break away in the middle of everything. You know what I mean? So, you can't just say, hey, hold on a minute. I'll be right back. You got to keep going. And he is a trauma surgeon, which is so exciting to me when I think about what he does. Takes his hands and says, God, use my hands to bless and to heal this person. Use everything you taught me. You run it from my mind, through my heart, to my hands, to touch and change the life of this person who's counting on me, Lord. And that means he or she's counting on you too. So whatever he's doing tonight, we pray for him and he goes. Tank is one in a million. Tank is, like I said, he's got his first book out. If you go to our website, it's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. Most of you know it. And you'll see it right here. You can scroll up and down. We'll be looking at it later. But you'll find his book there called Saved. And his book Saved is all about what God has done in his life. And finding God in the ordinary. Don't you just love that phrase? Because we all know that God works in the ordinary things of life, and that's where he meets us. No matter what the situation, he says, hey, I'm right here. I already knew you're going to be here. I've been waiting for you. You know, where do you read this book? Say, one trauma surgeon's true account of the miracles of his life. You want to get a copy of this, Dr. Craig Thayer, right here, Saved. In fact, right up above it, you'll find my book. It's in the third edition, Legitimate Faith Producing Authentic Hope. I wrote this and put this together from a sermon series in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 8, the request of Zig Ziglar about what faith really is. It's more than a word, and what does it really mean? And boy, if I ever had a meeting, we need to know what faith means in today's world and what we're looking at in our nation today. So in any event, you'll find it all there. If you scroll down, you'll also find, we'll show you later, all the guys who on the team. You'll find more out about them, and TJ's right there on top of it. We're so thankful to God for our engineer TJ Newsom and what he does there at BBS Radio there in Houston, Texas. So it's great to be a part of this family. We appreciate them. So that's the website you can go to. Again, write it down, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And again, we're so glad that you're with us tonight. Now, going on, moving right along, there's three of us here tonight. So when we bring on our guests, there's four of us. So we're going to be the four musketeers and talk about some things that are really going to be fun and what God's been doing in the lives of our guests tonight. Now, if you've been following along, you have seen that this lady's name we met way back in college is Melba Hernandez, and she sees the need. I couldn't help but write down the phrase, see the need, because she was always seeing the need. When Paul and I got to Hardin Simmons University in Abilene, Texas, leaving bigger schools out here on the West Coast, we were so blessed to see what God was doing in the lives of our comrades there at Hardin Simmons. We could let you in on a secret. They used to call us the Golden Boys because we came from Southern California. And but that's probably why they called us the Golden Boys. You think, Paul? I don't know. But we had a good time in those days way back when.
And, I thought it was the Tarnished Boys. I thought it was the Tarnished Boys.
The Tarnished Boys. No, that's when we got out finally. Of course, they found
Ryan
everything
Patina, done. Yes. You know,
they're still looking for us. But anyway, we're delighted to have Melba Hernandez with us, our special guest, to share about children and family needs, to share about her life a little bit this way. She is a lady who is loved by her family and countless people in her church, Cross City Church, there in Dallas, Texas, actually ULIS, very large church with a very great ministry. From university graduation to IMF as a journeyman, work in mass media, radio offices representing the Baptists there in Mexico City, and churches there to church work in Indiana and back to Texas, Melba has always sought God to be in tune with his purpose in her life. With a deep love for God and her country, she has always worked with her children and family ministries to understand the needs. She gets the picture what they are in the nation today. So to quote Melba, she said, "I want to thank you for the opportunity to share how God can use all of us, regardless of our age or who we are, to serve him, to be obedient to, and to be available to listen to those who need some listening ears." That's what this program is about, listening ears and knowing that we hear and we can pray. It's so great to know we don't have answers, but we know the one who has the answers. He's our best friend as well as our God and our Lord and our Savior. We worship him and we love him as our friend every day as he walks with us. Those who wait on the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him will gain new strength, renew their power, lift their up with wings like an eagle, as you know in Isaiah 40:35. So we want to welcome tonight our friend and our guest, Melba Hernandez from ULIS, Texas. And we're going to do something very special tonight. Melba, if you're there, we're going to ask TJ to bring you on. And we are ready to do the famous round of applause just for you on three. Ready? Three. Welcome to Raising Expectations, and welcome to It's Great to See You. Okay.
Oh, you're on mute.
Oh.
Technology.
There you go.
How's that? There you go.
What an honor and a privilege to be among the great people of Raise Expectations. You guys have been such an inspiration to me just in the months that I've been watching you. So thank you for this time that we can be together.
Amen. So glad to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how God has worked in your life, like you said to us.
Well, right now I am the administrative assistant to our international pastor and the Hispanic congregation. So I'm kept very busy. I'm bilingual, so I'm able to go from one congregation to the other. And the common denominator among the international group is English. So regardless of what country they're from, they've learned English. And so this is the common denominator that brings them together. But I originally started with a community outreach office. And when that pastor moved on, then they didn't have a place for me. And my lead pastor asked me to come to his office and said, "I need you down here in the basement to help the Hispanic pastor and the international pastor because they're lost." I said, and he kept looking at me and I kept thinking he's going to say, "Why don't you pray about this?" Or so that you could be sure, right? Give me a couple of days because this was like on a Monday. And he kept asking me, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "Okay, let's do it." And then he says, "Okay, you start in 2 weeks." I said, "Oh, okay." And then when his next sermon was about Noah, that kind of sealed the deal. Because when God asked Noah to build the ark, he didn't say, "But I don't have a hammer. Where am I going to get the wood and the water?" You know, all of those questions that we would have asked, because that's who we are. He just obeyed. And that was a learning experience for me. But the reason I came back to Cross City ULIS is that I was listening. I came the end of 20. So there was still the COVID scare. But I was listening to Brother John, and he was talking about Nehemiah and his urgency to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall because nobody was taking care of it. And so his last statement was, "Will you pick up a brick and join us?" And that was it. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready." So it's been a journey. I was married for 41 years, I met my husband when I was a journeyman in Mexico. He passed away in 2018. And at that moment, I thought, now what do I do? I was single for 20 something years. And now I'm single again. And I'm thinking, what do I do? And so God had to remold me and restart me and give me the energy to do what I'm doing now. Because, Joe, I'm right behind you and Paul with our ages. And so God's not through with me yet. And Amen. So I get up every morning. I go to work and go to my ministry and do what needs to be done. I have two Amen. Wonderful daughters who have been a great help and a great support to me. And one lives in New York City and the other one lives in Sellersburg, Indiana, near Louisville, Kentucky, because she works in Louisville. And I've been blessed with these gifts from God, and I just don't know how I would have done it without them. So it's been a journey since graduating from Hardin-Simmons. And late in life, I went to seminary and finished my academic goals. And after that, one of the ladies I used to grade papers for, she was a professor. She says, "You need to go for your D-man or your whatever." I said, "No, I'm done. I'm done. I don't need that." And my husband was trying to finish his undergraduate work. So I said, "Okay, now it's your turn." And so he moved on to do that. But my girls are just thriving in their jobs and in their careers. And I pray for them every minute of every day because they're in locations, especially my New York City girl. She loves New York. And I just pray for her every second of the day that God will protect her. And lead her forward. So that's where I am today. But as I was a children's minister back in the early 90s, and Stephanie, you'll relate to this. I think you probably should be giving this speech. But when I started early on, I didn't know. I thought there'd be a playbook at the church, right? And there wasn't. There's never a playbook unless you write it. And so Dr. Eldridge, who was a professor at the seminary, he was my minister of education. And so he goes, "Well, here's the VBS." The first thing I had to do was VBS within like 3 weeks of my start date. And I said, "Okay, well, let's move on." Then preteen camp. And then I was able to, then I had to do church promotion. So I had to make sure we had teachers. And while I was there, immediately the acronym ADD, ADHD, all of these situations, if you will, came to the front. And I had no idea because I graduated from seminary in 93. And those were not even part of our textbooks yet. And so it was totally new to me. So what I did is I bought all the books I could because parents were asking me. I said, "I have no clue." And so I thought, "Okay, Lord, show me the books." And so I started reading about it. Then I started noticing things in my own kids. So things just kind of helped me along as I raised my own daughters. And my oldest was kind of, they used to call it learning disability, but now they call it a learning difficulty. And I don't know if there's another acronym for that, but they noticed some differences because we spoke Spanish her first 5 years of life. And so she heard more Spanish than she did English. And so that caused a little bit of a challenge for some of the teachers. I told them the basic water, bathroom, and, you know, sleep or whatever, the four basic words that she would say in Spanish so they would know. But she developed this issue. And so we sat down. I went through sixth grade through high school with her. I went through all those grades again. Okay. And then my younger one was just a whiz on everything. So she had no problem. But then I noticed her speech patterns were just like her older sister's. And then I started listening to my husband. And that's where they were getting it from, because he learned English, but it wasn't his basic language. So he was making a lot of mistakes. And I just got used to hearing it all. And Stephanie, you know this, you learn their speech patterns and whatever they say, you know what they're saying, you know, so you know to answer and to meet their needs. And so I learned from my teacher, lead teacher, when I worked at the daycare there at the seminary. She used a lot of positive discipline. where instead of saying don't do that, or I'd say, well, let's make another choice. Let's see what our options are. Or let's stop running the house instead of don't run in the house, or different ways to talk to them that would make them understand what they needed or not needed to be doing. And so that was a teaching time for me as well. And then as I moved on into more experience in my ministry, I also started leading conferences for Lifeway and our association and the Baptist General Convention of Texas, and now with the Southern Baptist of Texas, doing Vacation Bible School conferences. It also led into parenting conferences, and a lot of times I'd start off with, "Okay, where are you as a couple? Are you aligned? Do you know if your husband is a Christian, and how long has he been a Christian? And where are you spiritually? Because if you can't define who you are spiritually, then how are we to teach our children this?" And during also that time period, children's church became very prevalent. And my kids were with me from the time they were 2 years old until high school. And they knew where they, I knew as a, growing up, one time I sat with the young people and we were not behaving very well. And my mom got up and she came back and she picked me up and said, "Come sit with us." So very front, you know, mom and dad just sat, all five of us were there. And I was so embarrassed. And I thought, I will never do that again. I'm always going to sit with my parents. And I did that with my girls. And so they said, "Mom, don't do that." I said, "Then you behave yourselves." You know, so they learn very quickly. And I feel like parents, children need to see their parents praying, giving an offering, singing the songs, whether they're hymns or choruses or whatever, and just interacting and being engaged in what worship is all about. So I could see the pros in children's church, but then I could also see what would happen if these kids would never see their parent do these important rituals, if you will, that we have during our worship. And if they didn't see that, then how were they going to know to do it? And so I remember my dad would fill out his envelope, and we'd each get our little envelope with our dime, and but the money was all of my dad's check, so he would always reference envelope whatever his number was. But every Sunday we got an envelope, and that taught me how to tithe. And so ever since then, that's what I do. I do it online now. I don't fill out an envelope, but it's an important lesson, you know, to be learned, and it's a lost lesson.
That is so interesting because we have so many people listen in, and that's the Baptist way. That's the way I learned with the same thing in the Baptist church with the envelope. And of course, my mom and dad were equipped, as you probably know, with laser beam eyes. They were in the choir, and they almost took off the pulpit a couple of times, laser beaming me in the first or second row. Then I got to Hart and Simmons. I didn't have any trouble because Paul and I were in mischief together. We had drug problems. But
So you got a partner.
I had a partner in crime there. But as we think of all these things going on today, as we were talking about children and all, Stephanie's website, you may have heard me talk, she helps even younger girls are calling in and talking and helping. And Dr. Cintron, who's on our show a lot, she's part of the family. So you would love Mary Ann. She's from Azusa Pacific University, and she and her husband Will are wonderful. And with dyslexia and things like this, and I didn't know
Yes.
about those either. And you had shared about that. And Stephanie, do you have a question on that or anything in that area? I remember, boy, you shared that because she's really opened this up.
Yeah.
Well, I just had a thought when you were talking about parents and demonstrating to our children, you know, prayer. I wrote down, you said prayer, offering, engaging, all of that. I'm sure I'll botch the statistic, but the gist of it is that the junior high and high schoolers that go to church with their parents, so what a lot of churches call big church, right? Because kids' services, they are so much more likely to go to church as adults themselves. And so,
Correct.
although the children's programs and the junior high and the youth and the whole, they're wonderful, it's very different when you see the example of your parents or grandparents or people you care about doing that.
Right.
And even, you know, I am an online giver because it's easy to just direct deposit, but there is something different when you see your parents having a check.
Right.
Goes into, like, our church doesn't even pass a basket anymore.
Right, right.
But when our kids were little, we would do that. We would do the envelope with them too, and they all would pick how, what they were going to bring and if it was going to go in there, or they were going to buy a soup can for the closet there.
Right.
How their tithe
right.
was going to go. But I do think it's really important. Our kids pick up so much more of what we're saying. Not
right.
What we're saying. I mean, they get the saying too, but
right.
it's the same, right?
Yeah. Along yeah. with that, I have been, my son-in-law, when they got married, they lived in Houston and he lost his job. So he started interviewing. He'd go east and he's a geologist. So one morning, of course, I pray for them every day. So one morning I had prayed for them and my daughter called me, says, Mom, Brandon got a job. Did you pray for him today? I said, I pray for you every day. And he said, yeah, when Mama C prays, something happens. And so,
yeah.
you know, I just, I prayed two single ladies, friends of mine, into a marriage. So not together, but they met their husbands right after we prayed. We were at Glorietta Amen. 1 year for training. And Esther had been dating this one guy for a while. And I prayed for her to find her helpmate. And she laughed. Like Sarah laughed, you know? And so, and then 2 months later, she calls me. She says, well, I'm going to get married. I just started screaming. I said, I knew God would bring that to you, you know? And then my other friend, we were at Riverbend, the retreat center in Glen Rose, doing a fresh encounter through the association. And we prayed. And she also had been interested in this gentleman, but nothing was happening. And so I prayed. I said, Lord, help her. Find her helpmate, you know. And so then a couple of months later, she called me and said she was engaged. So I'm at the point, some of my friends at work, can you pray for me? Said, yes, I'll pray for you.
Sign up.
Sign up. Yeah, take a number.
Take a number.
You know, and sometimes God will bring people into my mind that I've not even seen in years. And I feel the need to pray for them. And I do. You know, and it's just ever since COVID, it's
yeah.
been a unique experience because Joe, you've probably seen this on my Facebook page, is that I send scriptures out that means something to me, not just
Amen.
Any scripture, because sometimes in the Bible apps and everything, they just pick a verse. And I'm just going, this has nothing to do with anything that would be inspirational, you know, maybe in the context that it was written, but not taken out. And so I'll really just go through and just pick something that means something to me. I'll look on my walls because I have scripture all over my living room walls here. And I'll pick something that has not been posted. And when I was in Indiana, I was only there 2.5 years, but our pastor, because we were Zooming a lot because of COVID, he said, think of someone or several people and ask them how you can pray for them. And so I did. I picked about 10 people out of my network. And I was so surprised. And it shouldn't surprise me because God does his thing regardless of us. And when I received, every one of them responded with a major need. And I thought, we never know. We just never know where people are in their spiritual walk or in their where they're are in their emotional state and they've lost people or their kids have run away or they don't know where they are spiritually. And so I started making a list and just started praying for everyone who responded. And it's amazing to me. We did a study in our staff meeting about prayer. And I mentioned to them, I said, yeah, we always pray for these things, certain things. And yet we're so surprised when it's answered. But we should know that God, the Bible tells us, if you ask, we have not because we ask not. And my husband used to tell me that all the time. And it sounds better in Spanish, by the way. But anyway, I read a book by Pastor Cho, who was a a Korean pastor, and he had asked, he had prayed, he says, I feel the need to spread this word, but I'm going to do cell groups. And so he prayed. He said, Lord, I need a bicycle. I need a desk. I need this. About five items. So the next day, he got a bicycle with a broken tire. He got a wheel. And then he got a desk that was broken. The drawers were broken. And it was missing a foot. And the other two items were just as dilapidated as the other two. So then he says, okay, let's try this again. So he says, I need a bike that's good. And in good condition, so I can ride all over my city here to preach, because that's what you've asked me to do. And I need a desk that's pretty sturdy so I can keep my files, work on my sermons, and do what needs to be done. And the other two items, I can't remember what they were. I worked for Dr. McGorman at the seminary while I was in seminary, and he had this book in his bookshelf. And the next day he got a brand new bicycle, in good condition. And then he got a desk that was almost brand new, but all the drawers were coming in and out. It had all its feet, all the footwear and everything. And the point is, we need to be specific. Mm-hmm. Specific in what we pray for and for whom we pray with. And Amen. So that was just something that I thought. And that's been, well, I graduated in 93, so you can imagine how I don't do math very well, so I don't know how many years that is now, but it's been a while. And yet that point that he made in his little book, and it was an easy read. I thought, how appropriate that sometimes we just ask to be asking, or do we only ask when we're problematic, or are we facing God every day saying, this is where I am, I don't want to be in this place. Help me move forward or do what I need to do to make this day your day. You know, this morning I started praying at 5 o'clock this morning. I was still so nervous about tonight. And so it's a constant. Somebody said something on Facebook. Is it prayer just in the morning and just at night, or is it continually throughout the day? And for me, it's all day long.
Amen.
There's so much going on in this world and so many needs. And we can't cover them all just in the morning. You know, before I started working at the church, I found my apartment and I'd sit here. I'd get up. I eat my breakfast and I had my time with God. I mean, it was 30 or 45 minutes praying for people I knew. And then somebody else had talked about prayer. Do we have a list? Do you have a checkoff list? And I found myself doing a checkoff list. Yeah. I said, well, that's not totally kosher. We need to make sure that God bring us the people that need to be prayed for. So I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but I know that it's worked for me. I quit making the list, and many people have come to my mind and to my heart so I can pray for them that particular day. But it's
prompting of the Holy Spirit, huh?
Exactly.
Ready to lead there. Paul, you got a thought on that?
I got a bucket of thoughts. Just a bucket. Yeah, first of all, no, but it's so good to see you. God bless your walk. You know, when we were all students at Hardin-Simmons University, I think we didn't know anything, and we came out not knowing much
more.
We just had years of experience, but the Great Dispersion took place, and we were spread all over the points of the globe, and we've had so many varied experiences, and God has been so faithful, and we could all agree to that and share our stories. There are just a couple of illustrations I'd like to give you because of what you've said so far, and then I want to ask you a question, Melba, okay? So the two examples, when we were talking about taking our cues, our children taking our cues from watching their parents and what they do in worship service, when I was pastoring in Hayward, California, which is up in the Bay Area by San Francisco, I was pastoring up there. We had a catty corner from the church. We had what they called at the time a halfway house.
Yes.
That was for the emotionally challenged. And we had a man named James, and James would come to church and he would laugh and burp at the most inappropriate times, you know, just burp and then laugh and burp and laugh. But everybody loved him, just loved him to death. And I remember watching one Sunday morning from the platform. James was sitting in the back row, back pew. And I was an associate pastor at the time, and our senior pastor said, you know, when the plate comes around, we'd like for you to give what you're able to give. And then he said, and if you need something, take something, you know, out of the plate. That was an interesting concept. Yeah. But when the plate came around to James, I was watching him, and he looked at the plate, and then he looked around, and two of our youth, one was sitting on each side. And when he took the plate and he looked at it, and there was some money in there and everything, but James, he didn't take the money. He reached in his mouth and took out his teeth and put them on the plate. And one of our youth, his first name was Rick. He said, James, you don't have to give your teeth. He said, but that's all I have to give. Oh, and that made such a deep impression on me. That's all I had to give. Took out
the widow's mite. Yeah.
That was just an amazing illustration. The other thing I want to bring up very quickly, and not to try and take all the time, but I was fortunate one time to be in just a small group of people talking to Henry Blackaby, and Henry had written a book called Experiencing God. And
yes. I just finished it today.
Did you?
Oh, I love that.
It was great.
Yes.
Well, we were talking, there are only four of us, and three of us were talking to Henry, and we asked him about prayer. And Henry made this most interesting comment. He said, I like to think that when I get ready to pray, the angels in heaven snap to attention because they know the Lord's going to send them out on a mission. And that has all kinds of implications about spiritual authority and what you mentioned too, Melba, about do we really believe what we pray for? I mean, and Pastor Cho talking about being specific. And so that was a real rich experience in my life as well. Now, here's the question for you, Melba, and it isn't a tough one. Okay, so
I'm not a theologian, so don't expect that.
Well, Joe,
you're
called
a disciple.
Me.
You're a disciple. Yeah.
Okay, I'm a disciple. Yeah.
I think Joe called me a retired theologian. I think, as a matter of fact, I'm not a theologian either. I'm a theologizing person. Okay. I try to see where God is in things. Okay,
oh, I love
that's
it.
Right.
So I try to be it. So here's the question. We mentioned early in the broadcast about being in tune with God, in tune with God. And so I get the sense that you've learned some important parts of answering that. How do you know when you are in tune with the Holy Spirit? What are some indicators for you? Is that a fair question?
It's a fair question. It's going to be hard to answer, though. I just feel at peace. I feel at peace that I can, you know, that be still and listen. Mm-hmm. A verse is just so important to me because a lot of times we're still, but we're not listening. We're still searching, but we're not listening. And parts of that has come through growth and experience. But I feel like when I'm at peace with what I'm doing and where I am in my life, then I know that the Holy Spirit is going to use the situation. Anytime I led a conference, that was one thing. I released myself from the conference. I was in Glorieta one year, so you'll see. The title of the conference was something I don't even remember, but I was teaching preschool leadership, and all of a sudden these men started coming in, and I can get very intimidated. I didn't know you guys. I knew of you guys in Hardin Simmons, but you were upperclassmen. I was a mealy little freshman, and I thought, I don't know these guys. And these pastors started coming in, and I said, sir, are you sure you're in the right conference? And he looked, he says, yes. I said, well, this is geared for preschool leadership. That's okay. I can hear it. I mean, I had to totally give up all of what I had prepared and just think, okay, Lord, how do I relate this to a pastor? I had never preached or given a conference on pastors, two pastors. And so I don't know. I know how he did it, but I had to repeat this conference. And I thought, I have no notes on this conference. How am I going to repeat what the Holy Spirit has given me, this 1 30-minute slot. Mm-hmm. Well, the second hour came in, and here comes the men again. I thought, did we misread the program? And fortunately, we had just been talking. I was on staff at a church in Hearst, and we had been talking about intergenerational activities. We'd been talking about the youth, and I mean, all gamuts of the ministries in our church. And that was the only thing I could think of. And God gave me those thoughts, and I'm so glad that we had, thankful that we had those meetings before I went to Glorietta. And once again, he did it, but I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have done it if I had read my notes and stuck to my notes. I had to let him. And so when I release myself from the responsibility, then that allows the Holy Spirit to work through me. And that's the only way I can explain it, because it's happened to me several times. And I had one lady even recently, we asked for people to come to a luncheon because we wanted to, our Hispanic congregation has really never been trained to serve. And so our pastor has been doing some leadership training, and we invited them to this luncheon, but it was very limited in number. And she signed up, and I asked where she was serving, because she wasn't serving. She wasn't on any of my lists. Well, I was there when the previous pastor was there, and I sang in the choir. I said, okay, we were really asking for those who were currently serving. Oh, okay. And so then we released the conversation, because she texted me, and I felt like I needed to take one more step towards her. And so I wrote her, and I said, look, I'll put you on the list. And because we had to serve lunch, so I needed to make sure I had enough for everybody. I said, let me make two suggestions. I need for you to talk to pastor to see where you can serve. And I need to talk for you to talk to our worship pastor, our worship associate, to see how you can serve in the music area. Don't write it off. We want to use you, but you need to take these two steps before we can move forward on training you and letting you serve. She says, oh, I'm so thankful. Thank you very much. And she came. She talked to our pastor, and she talked to the worship associate, and she's on board. So sometimes I put my foot in my mouth before I think about it. And then the Holy Spirit comes back, and Melba, you could have done better than that. And so he leads me to do better.
Deb, you got a thought on that?
Well, he also fixes things, right? I think sometimes it's a setup, and I honestly think sometimes the best conversations, the best messages are when we are not prepared. And then there's absolutely no doubt that it wasn't from us, right, but it was from the Lord, right? We can do the preparation we need to be. It's funny because I didn't know for sure what we would talk about tonight, but I grabbed my prayer journal. I write down prayers and very serious things, and my Bible. So I ran off from the two gentlemen and I said, I better go grab those. Because I like having both of them, because you never know what the Lord is going to bring up for you or remind you of. And then when you're in those situations, right, you just let take the lead. And it's such a beautiful thing to be used by him.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I don't know, Joe and Paul, if you were involved with when Deb Jackson did the evangelistic trips to Spain. Was that after you left, or were you involved with that?
I was gone. Yeah.
You were gone?
Yeah.
That must have been my junior year then. I was part of a team to go to Spain, because I was, according to them, bilingual, but I spoke no Spanish when I was in college. And so, but we went to Spain because my surname is Hernandez. They thought, oh, well, we'll send her. I'm like, okay, let's go. And fortunately, our pastor was the only pastor who was bilingual. And so Gil Lane and Brad Layton and Peggy Robertson were part of my team, and each of them had their role. I was the pianist. And we get there, and the preacher said, the Spanish, the pastor of the church said, well, our interpreter is not here yet. And they said, oh, well, Melba can do it. I said, oh, no. Well, we'll pray for you. I said, you can pray all you want, but I am not. I mean, I was very rebellious. I said, no, I am not doing this. And they said, we're going to pray for you, or you do it all what you want to do, but I'm not going to do this. And they laid hands on me, And fortunately, Gil used to write his sermons out like essays. So I was able to read before a couple of lines before so I could kind of get the words in my mind. I spoke no Spanish when I was in college. And because my parents didn't teach us to speak Spanish because they have a San Angelo dialect is what I call it, because nothing was in Spanish. It was all a mixture of English and Spanish. And so I saw some movement after we'd been into it about 5 or 10 minutes. And the pastor comes up and he says, "Our interpreter is here." I'm done. So I sat down and guys, I felt the Holy Spirit leave me. Mm-hmm. I had never felt that before and really have not felt it as much as I did that morning. Mm-hmm. I literally felt him leave me. So like you say, Steph, I wasn't prepared ready to do that, but God was ready to use me.
You were ready by faith. There you
that's
go.
That's right.
Well, Melba, we're going to take just a minute here at 6:51 watching at this. And we want to thank you all for watching tonight and being a part on my phone. I've seen it light up a few times, including Frank Roberson's watching again tonight, our guest last week. He's with us. Stephanie, would you share a word about to the outreach, how we could use support and some help?
Sure. We, as always, love that you come to hang out with us here, whether it's live on the radio show or on all the different platforms, anywhere that you can find shows, you can find us. Just look for Raising Expectations. You can also go to our website, which is bbsradio.com/Raising Expectations. And you'll see right up there at the top, it's, you know, I really like the graphic. That's new. I have to tell you, I really like that.
On the air, yeah.
And then as you start to scroll down, there are different ways that you can give to us financially, and it takes money to run this program. And so we appreciate, you know, I always mention, you know, skip a coffee or skip a meal and give to the ministry in that way, because you have no idea, just as we were talking about the Holy Spirit, who will be prompted to listen or forward a recording or tag a friend, because we're also on social media. So there's lots of ways to reach people, and I think it's just so important for us to be bold at this time in our faith. You can continue to go down. There's ways to contact Joe directly if you want help, and then you can keep going down, and there's past shows. You can, if you want to hop, you want to see what guests we had on there, and then you can continue scrolling down, and there's ways to connect with each of us, information about us as co-hosts, and I think near the bottom there's Pastor Joe and my husband's book as well. So there's just a plethora of information on there for you guys, but we really appreciate your faithful listening and your faithful giving. Those are both important pieces to make it all work.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Steph. I'd get a swig of coffee there real quick. That was a fast swig. So what we want to do right now, and thanks for sharing that, everybody. Go ahead and write that down. Thanks, Stephanie, for getting all that information cleared for them. And if you could take maybe a minute and a half left and just give a final thought there, appreciate what your ministry is, Melba, what you're doing. Take a minute and a half here with us.
Well, I want to encourage parents and young people and even preteens that prayer can be a very important part of your lives. I can't see how we can live without it. You know, it's been, even when I drive to work, sometimes I'm almost hit by a couple of cars or motorcycles. I said, "Lord, send your angels behind me and around me, because this is not working." But it's so important that parents be the good examples in all aspects of their life, not just at home, which is very important, but in their church life. Their kids need to understand what it means to be a Christian and what that lifestyle is like. And there's no in between. Amen. You're either for God or you're against him. And I'm sorry, it's just black and white. And so I just want to encourage parents to hold on to that and to become equally yoked in their, not only in their marriage, but in their spiritual life. That was one thing that my husband and I, once I was able to retire the first time, I've tried to retire twice now, we would do our devotions, because he would do them by himself because I was off at work. But we would do an hour and a half devotion, prayer time and devotion. And our people would know if they'd call, they'd say, "I know you're in your devotion time. Can you add another person to your prayer list?" And so that
That's
was
excellent.
that was the example we were putting as pastor and wife, because it, later in life he did surrender to the ministry. But it's been a good experience for me, and I just encourage parents to be the good examples that they want, because starting with our preschoolers and children, they are the future of our church. They're the ones that we start with and mold them and let them understand what it means to accept Christ, be a Christian, and walk that life and
That's
be on
right.
that journey. So,
amen. Well, Melvin,
it's worked
you
out
said
for
it
us.
So well. That's it. You said it well on the spot there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad you tuned in tonight. It's always a blessing to us, not just a pleasure, but a blessing to know that you're out there listening. And as I said, Ron and they're on the way, I think, to Florida tonight, so we're missing them. So, Paul, we're going to have to do the honors tonight very quickly. We want to go out the same way that we normally do. Are you ready? It's been a long time.
Wait, before we go, a verse of scripture, Isaiah 46:4. It says, and when you're old, I will still be there carrying you. Mm-hmm. And when your limbs grow tired and your eyes are weak and your hair turns a silvery gray, I will carry you as I always have. I will carry you and I will save you. So, Melba, carry the flag.
That's right.
Carry the flag. God bless
you. I'm going to try to keep the gray hair out, but I can't anymore.
Let it shine. Let it shine.
That's right.
Thank you,
That's
Paul.
That's right.
Goes to you
until we meet again.
Happy birthday goes to you. Keep smiling until the end.
Happy birthday to you
till we meet again.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye.
Happy trails. Remember, talk to him. He's ready to hear you, and he's got something special just for you. God bless. See you next week. Thank you, Melba. God bless you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous. But most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.